This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Brisbane and Australian-based Local Legends in Running podcast. My name is Ollie Jones and I'm the host of the show and the founder of the Local Legends in Running brand, including online running coaching services. This podcast primarily involves a one-on-one conversation format with Australian and global elite and amateur runners, coaches, exercise scientists, and event directors, where you hear insights, opinions, and stories you'd otherwise struggle to find scrolling online. Today on Season 4, Episode 90, I invite back to the podcast regular guest Brooke Williams. The intent of today's episode is to specifically review and reflect on the amazing World Athletics Champs it has been, with a specific focus on, of course, middle distance running and Australian performances. Given Stephen Butcher and I from the Bush Jockey Track Club dissected the first week of the champs halfway through on the pod, Brooke and I do centre our attention toward the latter part of the week. We finished the episode with talking about our own running for the rest of 2025 and general ideas for 2026. As always, thanks for your attention, your ears, and listening, of course, to the Local Legends in Running podcast. Also, my apologies, guys. I accidentally left my audio setting on the microphone for my portable camera, so it sounds pretty rubbish. So forgive me for that one, and hopefully the content and conversation keep you interested in the episode. Thanks again. Awesome. Well, welcome back to what's now probably deemed as a regular co-host to the Local Legends in Running podcast, and that would be Brooke Williams.
Hi, Ollie. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for giving up some time. I know you haven't got a lot of it today, but we're here, and we're mainly here to reflect and review on the World Champs. What an amazing week it was, hey. One sort of fact that I had researched in the last day or so, you might have heard this, but in terms of tickets, overall tickets sold, they actually sold over double or just around double compared to Budapest 2 years ago. And you might recall Eugene was postponed to 22 as well, and that was because of COVID. So it was awesome to see such an amount, high amount of people out there, supporters in the crowds, but also just general people, running mates and family and friends, even watching it from my end. How's your experience?
Yeah, I think that this World Champs has been amazing. I feel like it's just been so interesting and just a lot of surprises. And yeah, nearly every part has been every bit the very, very dramatic. And yeah, just an awesome experience of athletics.
Oh, so good. And yeah, because I'm a huge athletics fan in general, and I get into all those events. But the middle distance, that's what we're going to focus on, of course, today. And if we call the 10K and 5K distance events, that's our focus here. And I think, like, when we reflect on it, so many amazing Australian performances as well. We had a number of Aussies medal in the event itself, but overall, what do you make of the event?
Yeah, it was really good. I was just so happy to see so many people perform well and just, yeah, heaps of surprises too. I don't think there was one event that was ever like boring or had a clean sweep from one country, really. It was just like, yeah, so many surprises on all fronts.
Yeah, it's been well, 2 days since the actual event itself. But it feels like forever. It's only been 48 hours. It feels like it consumed my entire life for a week there, constantly on Instagram, updating the followers and so involved from my end. But before we get there, could you quickly touch on your Sydney experience, Brooke? Because you had a huge PB in the marathon. The last time I think you featured on the podcast, you were leading into that event. So 9 minute PB, wasn't it? 2:47.
Yeah, it was seriously one of the best running experiences I've ever had in my life. It was just so cool just to like experience that world major, to be in the cool room with like Bridget Kosgei. Like she was like rolling out her hamstrings next to me, and I just could was like, what am I doing here? So that, and then when I was in the race, I just felt like the K's were just ticking by. I was like with this 2:44, 2:45 pacing group. And I just felt like I was jogging. And then I fell over at one point. And then I picked myself up. And then I sort of died at like 26K. But then, yeah, to get to about 400 meters to go, I seen that my time was like 2:45 on my watch. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to run like 2:47. And then I did. And my friend Lauren, we sort of hung out all weekend. And she said she was only going to run till 30K. And to see her at the end that she actually finished and she ran 2:43,
Wow.
we were just both just gobsmacked. We were just like, what just happened?
That's so good.
It was so cool. And then to see Chip Kobe in the finish line too, that was cool.
Oh, it just seemed like, yeah, a fantastic event. Obviously, the first year that it became a major down in Sydney. And yeah, it just like it increased the participation that I noticed from the Brisbane people I follow who, travel down from the city of Brisbane itself to compete in Sydney. Did you have any other contacts and friends get involved in Sydney, because it had become a major as well?
Yeah, I think a lot of people was like were trying to get in or got in. Yeah, I noticed it was just like a big push to get there. But it was just so cool. Like the crowd was so loud, especially through all like the city areas. It was just amazing. People were just like sort of, people you sort of knew through running too, like were just yelling out your name. And I had like my last name on my bib, so you'd run past like a Lululemon group and they'd just be like, yeah, go Williams. I'm just like, oh my God. People were cut in the suburban areas. People, kids had like muffin tins and like rolling pins and like banging them together to make a loud noise. And it was just incredible. It was really, really cool. Definitely like that world major race is such an experience.
Yeah, so good. I'm looking forward to seeing how that event goes in years to come. Obviously, being the first and founding year of it being a world championship event. But let's get to speaking of championship events, the World Athletics Champs, they were in Tokyo, and it didn't align well with Brisbane time, like in terms of us being able to watch it at night, potentially a little bit too late for people like ourselves, waking up a bit early for a runner with family, because some of the events went up to 11 p.m. at night. But generally, like, viewing time was fantastic. But we'll sort of, I guess, go back about halfway, Brooke. Stephen Butcher from the Bush Jerky Track Club, he was on the road to Gold Coast Half Series a number of months ago. He and I sat on that Wednesday halfway through and spoke a lot about the first part of the event. So it'd be amazing to talk to you about probably from about Wednesday onwards. And it's a little bit of a blur for me, so I'm glad I've done an agenda for today. And we're going to go as far back as this 3K steeplechase final, because I guess the reigning champion, Winfried Yarvi from Bahrain, was there, but she didn't win. It was Cheritich in 8:51, which is a smoking time because that's a championship record. But Bahrain, Yarvi from Bahrain, rather, was the leader for most of that race, and she was overtaken towards the end. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, it was an upset. There's lots of trips because I think like an Olympic champion from 2021, like she fell near the end. And then like Winfried Yarvi, she was the favorite. She's been fantastic all through all the Diamond Leagues and everything. So yeah, that's just what the steeplechase is like. It's just like it can just change so quickly just from those tactics with the water jump and all the hurdles and everything. So yeah, it was a really interesting race.
Yeah, obviously Kenya and Ethiopia continue as always in these events to dominate. But it's great to see Yavi from Bahrain to continue her, I guess, presence up right up there in the steeplechase. Following the steeplechase was the men's 1500 meter final, and there's been so much around this event in the last few years, hey, and particularly because it's global, so many good runners from various countries, talking about America and Africa particularly, but also let's not forget about Australia. How many runners do we have in the men's under, say, 334 even? It'd be at least 10 to 12 I can think of that are under 334 that was so close to even going to this thing. But is it Nader or Nada from Portugal? He took the win. And that's a very, very rare win for Portugal in a distance event. I think the first one for Portugal in a 3:34, but it was Weidman doing a lot of the work in the latter stages, and Tim Cheruiyot. Now, I always mix these guys up. Reynold and Tim Cheruiyot are not related. Tim was the one who led at the start of the race, and he was the Olympic silver from 2021. But Reynold, he came third in the end with Weidman in second, but only overtaken by Nader in the last, what, 50 meters from memory?
Yeah, amazing. And I think Nader didn't even make the Olympic final or something. So he was just a complete surprise. But it just goes to show it can be anyone's race. You don't have to be the fastest. You know what I mean?
No.
If you've got the tactics, yeah, you've got a shot.
It's wild, but some guys, that didn't make this event, you can't sort of look at that time 3:34 and think if you're a runner that's under that, that you could have won it, because it's all strategy. And 3:34, if 1500 is not overly fast, but it does become very strategic, and it comes
Yeah.
down to who can kick the best under such fatigue, for say 1200 meters, and that last 300 really sort of takes place. But it was great to see Weidman sort of coming back. He's had injury concerns for a number of years here, but I know you wanted to add a bit here, Brooks. So happy to talk about his injury sort of pathway in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I just think he's such a good He's just such a good character in our sport and good person in our sport. It just shows that he's been through so much, so many challenges in the last couple of years. So he won, I remember when he won the world champs in 2022, but ever since he just had back-to-back injuries, and he was actually coached by his father. So remember his father, he does the commentary for some of the races, and he was actually commentating for his race and he coached him, and he's obviously his son. But then they sort of fractured their relationship, all of these injuries. So then he decided to go with another coach, and move away, to Manchester. And that's when, yeah, recently he's just had a bit more success and just started to piece things back together. But I thought it was interesting how, and he's now getting coached by his future father-in-law. So he must like
Yeah.
to keep it in the family, must like to, which is actually quite common with a lot of high, professional athletes. A lot of the, people, they're quite
Yeah, it
close.
is.
To
Yeah, it
them.
is. Yeah, and I should have mentioned the British and Scottish runners, because Josh Kerr was in that race and he's a 3:27 guy. I think may have been the quickest seed with Ingebrigtsen out, because Ingebrigtsen, as you may know, is a 3:26 something, isn't he? And the world record, the best time of all time, I think, is 3:26 flat. So they're getting pretty close to that mark, these guys. And yeah, it's a shame to see Ingebrigtsen out of that. I think his injury really led to his absence in that particular race. It was great to see him back in the 5K, which we'll get to. Yeah, well, on the women's end, so good to see Jess Hull get a bronze here. So well deserved. She's been running fantastically in the last 3 years. She got that world record in that 2K, I think. Was that start of this year or end of last year, that 2K world
Last
record?
year. Yeah, last
Yeah,
year.
which is a rare event to be run, but you can't discredit a world record. It clearly shows that she's got some pace, maybe not enough for the 800, as we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, enough, I guess, endurance in that 1500. But Faith Kipyegon just led this whole race from memory from start to finish. And Kenya, yeah, first and second, with Australia third.
Yeah, well, actually, Iwo was a surprise. She doesn't live over in Kenya. She's been in America for quite a number of years. Yeah, but she didn't have she wasn't really that successful all through college, really. She ran 201 or something the very last year of college, but she didn't get picked up by a group. She didn't get a shoe contract or anything. So even when they finished the race, Faith turned around and she thought that she'd won bronze because she thought Jess is always behind her. But then she realized that she won silver and she was over the moon for her teammate. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting. But I think Jess said in an interview that she didn't want to die wandering, and she wanted to stick with Faith for as long as possible, which she took her out to maybe 1300 meters, and then it was basically just trying to hold her position, and she sort of lost a bit of ground at the very end. The other Kenyan was coming through too, And the other Kenyan, Cheptegei, was the one that chased Jess down at the Diamond League final when she had that slow, like, last 50 meters. So I'm glad that she was able to hold her off at the end. But yeah, it was a great race, and I'm really glad that Jess got the bronze. She obviously deserved it and was always going to be in the mix of it. But yeah, I thought it was interesting how the start, she sort of went really wide. Did you see that
Yeah, it sort
at
of
the
happened
start?
in the 800 too. She went quite wide, and in the 800 too, which we'll get to, she took like a lap, even though probably 500 meters to get on. Well, she came in last, so she didn't really get onto it at all. But
And
yeah,
it
it was interesting. Was she avoiding getting tripped? Was it just her going, oh, no, I'll chill here? Or potentially the third one? I've been thinking of Brooke. I think she's a bit like Stewie McSwain. You know, he's sort of slow to get off the mark. Hasn't got that top end speed potentially of the women. Maybe it's not a strategy, but just the fact she's not fast enough. I don't know.
And maybe she just watched a couple of heats where, she was watching so many people get tripped, and maybe she thought it was probably better to not risk it at all and just go from the back, then go wide, and then meet Faith at the bottom and, like, surge then. Because if she sort of got boxed in or tripped at the start, I think that would have maybe not been in her favor. But I just thought that was very interesting. Maybe in these races, you do have to think about, like, what is the risk in all of this? So yeah, very interesting, but it obviously paid off for her, and she still got a medal. So yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and into the women's 5,000 meter heats, we had our Rose Davies, Abby Caldwell, didn't we? Was the second. Who was the third runner in this one? The one that didn't get through.
5,000 heats.
Yeah.
So we had Georgia,
Yeah, she
Megan,
missed out, didn't
and
she?
Rose. Yeah,
Yeah.
Georgia.
Yes, the other two got
Great.
through to the final. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's ridiculous the times now you got to run. Like Chebet,
So
she broke
fast.
that world record only started this year, end of last year, sub 14 that was in the 5K. And I'm sort of skimming down. We might get to the final as we speak here about the heats, because once we got to the final, things changed a little bit. It's kind of like Chebet and Kipyegon sort of meet in the middle here, where Chebet's more that longer distance 10K female runner, and then Kipyegon, obviously the 1500 mile, that kind of stuff, and 3K. She's quite, fast in those shorter distances. But yeah, it was Chebet for this one, and Kipyegon was there, and Nadia Badocletti. I followed her journey the last couple of years from Italy, which is rare. She's got a number of records, I think, for that nation, and she's very, very young, so one to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I just can't believe how slow it was. Like, first K was 317, then 302, 258, 256. Like, and then I can't believe
Wow,
that they
it's
were
crazy.
all out. They literally looked like they were just doing a training run together, like a long run. They were all together, even like 400 to go. I think only one person had fallen off.
That's about your 5K PB base, 317s. It would be, wouldn't it?
So we hang with them for 1K.
Yeah,
But,
how's that progression though? The 256.
yeah, and then yeah, but just I just can't believe that still at 400 to go. I was watching this race, I'm like, oh my God, like, this could be anyone's. Like, yeah, and like it ended up being no surprises. Like, they were probably the best three athletes that were in the race, but still, like, that's so risky. Like, 400 to go, they're leaving it that late. Like, Lyndon's got an amazing kick. Could have been anyone's race. So yeah, very cool. But I'm glad. Well, I'm not glad, but it was interesting that it did go out so slow, because the heats were so fast to get into that final. So it probably was, yeah, maybe they did it tactfully by going slow, because maybe a lot of them were tired. Because I did worry about that. I was like, how could you only have one day off? I think it was only one day off. Yeah. And then go into a final that'd
Yeah,
probably
one day
be,
off. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah,
just
that's
as fast.
remarkable. Yeah, it's not much. I wonder what they do for, unless you know, Brooke, for recovery, but in that sort of 48 hours, what are they doing?
Yeah, probably
Nothing.
nothing. Just
Lie
lying in
still. Don't
bed.
breathe. Don't talk.
Yeah. No energy to be wasted. Yeah, eating and
Yeah, nutrition.
ice
Yeah.
baths. Yeah, but yeah, it'd be tough. But they did it. They pulled it off. Amazing. But Chibet, she's just unstoppable. She's amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm heading back up the agenda. We've kind of skipped down to the from the 5,000 heats to the 5,000 final. We've got a bit of an agenda here for these events, just trying to refresh our memories. Where should we go back to the 800 meter semis for the women?
And then.
Yeah, Jess Hull, obviously that 157 low and a national record there. I think she was 157.30 eventually in the final, but this was awesome to see because, yeah, she hasn't run heaps of 800 meter top end events, has she?
No, yeah. So, and she also said that there was more there for that race. So I wonder if one day she could run, 156. But you could just tell, yeah, that she's definitely like a 1500 meter runner, had like good like aerobic base, because yeah, she went from like the back and just worked her way through. And I think she was like at the back at the during the first lap, but then she did catch heaps of people and then ended up coming third in her heat. So, and yeah, they end up getting the Australian record. So now she's Australian record holder for the 15, the 8. She did have the 5 for a bit, but I think Rose has got it now. But yeah, I think eventually she'll have all of them, to be honest.
Did she take Claire? Whose record was it? Claudia Hollingsworth, was it, for the 800 that she
I think it
took?
was.
It was a 157 mid or high, wasn't it? There's so many women around that 57 high, if I've got that correct. Definitely in the 158s, there's a lot of women, but
Because Sarah Billings, she ran 157 this season.
yeah, well, there's another. Yeah. Yeah,
So
no doubt she will get that quicker, don't you think? 156 is definitely doable.
eventually. But it was interesting. Should we go into the final?
Yeah, I was just thinking though, yeah, as just quickly, I think she, she ought to think about where she's going to specify here. Like, I think of someone like McSwain, who ran, he's still around, but he ran well for years, and hopefully does in that 1500, then up to the 10K. Or is Jessica going to focus more 8 and 15 instead of doing these 5000s and even 10,000, which I know she doesn't do often. But anyway, to the final we go. And yeah, this was, I'm just so apprehensive here watching the TV screen with Jess on the start line of a final. Like, we've got to remember, it's been a while since the last sort of 5 to 7 years, Australian running has really progressed. If you've only tuned into the running scene or become a runner in the last few years, like, you take this stuff for granted. Like, we had not really, if we're being very honest and very accurate with our representations of Australian running, even 10 years ago, we just didn't have the depth that we do now. And even at the top end, Craig Mottram rings a bell to me, and Benita Willis, but Benita was a longer distance runner, like 5,000 cross country and a bit of 10,000, not so much in the 15.8. So to have women now, like, to have Jess on the start line of 800, I thought was amazing to see. And also, like, it's wondering how this race would go, but I'll let you take over here and talk about how you found it.
Yeah, just on that, like it was unheard of that an Aussie woman would break 2 minutes not that long ago. So it is come such a long way. But yeah, it was a really interesting race. Keeley was definitely the favorite going in, and she obviously won the Olympics last year. And she's got a really strong training partner, Georgia Hunter Bell. But what happened was Mary Mora, who's usually on the scene as well, but she hadn't had a great season. I think she ended up being like the sacrificial lamb for this race. So the Kenyans sort of worked as a team, got in front of Keeley towards like the home stretch where she usually gets her momentum and gets going. And I think that really broke up the race. And then Lillian, is it Odiria? She got through and she got the gold. So yeah, very interesting race. And Georgia ended up coming in front of Keeley. So and she ran a massive PB. I think it was, yeah, she ran 154. So that's just insane. Like 154 for an 800 meter. Like, how crazy is that? And I think all the rest of the field, PB'd or nearly PB'd. So yeah, it was just an incredible race. And with Jess too, like that was the second fastest time in that race that Australians ever done. The fastest was in the semi, and she got 157.15, and in the final she got 157.30. So pretty much like nearly exactly the same time, but just in that race, it was so fast. And she was coming from lane 8 and then coming over. How crazy is that? That it just looked, it didn't look like very fast at all. Do you know what I
It
mean?
didn't. Yeah, I think it was like at least 54 on the way through, if you remember. Like, in terms of Jess's, imagine her, if she did, she would really, and probably never has done, a 400 meter time trial. But you'd think for 400, she may, at her very quickest, so we're talking one lap here, not two laps, and she gets to stop after one lap. I would assume might be something like a 52-ish, just for a 400. Now, if they've gone through, if I'm correct, about 54. You've got to think about how that fatigues the body. So you can't say that Jess could have done anything differently. She was just too slow from a standpoint of compared to the race. Not for an Australian. She's amazing. She got, the Australian record just in the semi. But to see that, they're just too quick. There's no other way of
It's
putting
just
it.
so fast. It's a different class, isn't it? And the thing about the 800 is like it's more of a sprinters event. Like you got a lot of girls coming up from the 400. So yeah, but she said in her post-race interviews it was such a good experience, and she said she really had a lot of fun with it, and she wants to take that sort of like playful fun side to racing again, like she does in her 15s, because she feels like she just had so much pressure in the 1500. And because she sees Faith, and she says Faith have a lot of fun with her races sometimes, and she's like, I want to take that energy I had in the 800 into the 15. So she's like, I'm so glad I've got like the national record, and I've got that speed practice, and now I just want to put it all together. So she's had a fantastic chance.
Oh yeah, amazing. Yeah, 100% agree. I think we've got one more event here. What's left? 800 men's on our list,
Yeah,
and
we have
then oh, the men's 5K. Absolutely, that one. So the 800. What we have here, Kenyans and US in the semis dominating. Peter Bol missed out. He got through. Peyton Craig and what's the other guy's name? Missed out. Boyce, is it?
Oh yeah, the boys, yeah.
Yeah, 145s around that area, and
Yeah.
Bowles run a 142 high, 142 something, the Australian record this year.
Yeah.
So to see him bomb out was unfortunate, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was hoping that he would have a good championship, but it just happens. Like I think the 800 is so hard. Like anything can happen, and it's only top three or something. Like same thing sort of happened with the Aussie females. Like, yeah, it's just we have such good girls with like Abby and Claudia as well, but it's just tough. Like things can just happen too quickly, and yeah, it's cutthroat.
It is like a second can make the difference. You know, if
Yeah.
Peyton Craig's a second quicker in his race, he's getting through. He's run a second quicker too. But the race strategy and pacing on the way out in the 800 is so telling of the overall time, isn't it? So into
Yeah.
the final we go for 800.
Oh yeah. So from Kenya, it was Wayoni, who
Yeah.
was first, and then from Algeria. Oh, the Algeria guy. Remember Sinjati, and then Arop from Canada. He was third. He looks so strong always, Arop.
Yeah,
He
he's
had
great.
race. Yeah. So yeah, I think it was pretty fast. What is it? Yeah, 141. It was 141.
Yeah, well, saw a pretty interesting stat, Brooke, on Instagram. Hope I've got this correct, but the winning time in the most recent World Champs, Budapest, I think, if I read this correctly and recall it correctly, was slower than the last place in this race.
Oh,
So one, I
wow.
think it was 142 high was the winner. And in this year's race, 142.7, seven Botswana Masalala, he was there in eighth. So that's how fast it is. Championship record 141.86. So getting close. That world record, that still stands from Rhodesia, doesn't it? From years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and then the men's 5K, all eyes for me were on Kai Robinson. I coached with him for a year back at Churchy, where I taught there in
Oh.
2020. He was in his first year out of school. He finished in the year early in 2019. And he was in a sort of a gap year, I think, training with potentially the Gold Coast Run Co. You might know a few guys from there. Tim Vincent's one of them. But yeah, he then, it progressed through from the heat to make this final. And he was there the entire race, and it was warm, but
Amazing.
he was there right to the end in about fifth or sixth and kicked to come fourth. So I think that time, the actual time, was the quickest ever 5K in a World Champs for Kai Robinson. His PB, I think, is marginally quicker, but he's now broken 13 minutes twice, and he did it here again. So how good was that?
Yeah, he was just professional the minute he got in Tokyo, it seemed. Like all through the heat, he was just like all business. He was very smart. He didn't waste too much energy. He was in that pack and just letting it all unfold. He did talk about in a post-race interview just how hard it was. He was like, I was like brain dead in the last 100. He was just so fatigued, and did look like a fast race. Like I saw like Nico Young's face and Grant Fisher, Cole Hocker, like you could see they were so working so hard, because like that's a normal time for them to run, but they're running in like heat and humidity, so
Yeah.
they were working hard. But yeah, the fact that he came fourth, like that's amazing. That's such a good result. Like good on him. So good.
Yeah, I think that the 5,000, if we're being honest too, across the men's events, probably the weakness, maybe the 10K second. 1500. I was thinking so much depth. Like, there's a bit of a gap at the moment, I think, from Kai. And we saw Jack Rayner and Seth in the races. Obviously, the race they're in doesn't dictate essentially their fitness or their potential if it goes out slower than they planned. But I think at the very best, Jack Rayner right now is, potentially a 13:10-ish guy. And Seth, I think, has run a 13:20 of late, maybe quicker, nothing quicker, 13:13, maybe. So there's a bit of a gap there from Kai. But yeah, Hocker in first there, Kemmeli from Belgium. And Gressi was back for more because he was the winner of the 10K earlier in the week. So that's great to see. And he's a Frenchman.
Yeah, he's just he's just got a kick on him, Gressier. But I think like with Kai, and if you compare them to Seth and Jack, well, Jack's had a lot of championship experience, but he's had injuries recently. But Kai just seems like that NCAA system really worked for him. Like he just took so much experience in racing, and you can just tell he used that during these races. He just had a lot of championship racing experience, and I think like Seth's doesn't. Seth's has come late into the sport, and he just hasn't had a lot of that, those tactful races and like first championship, first time representing Australia. Like it's so it would be so hard just to just do that and to for the very first time and have that experience. So yeah, he did well, but yeah, he's definitely come through, Kai. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's just a different point in his career. Seth's, yeah, a bit fresher to the whole thing. Jack Rayner was injured earlier this year, so we don't want to discredit the ability he has. And he's the fourth ever Australian to go under for the men's, that is, for 13 minutes for the 5K. So him, well, Mottram, then McSwain, then Robinson, and he's the fourth, I think, a 59 maybe, or 50, high 58. But let's move along and finish up here today, Brooke. Let's talk about your running. You've done that Sydney run, but what's coming up for you? You've got some notes here on the agenda. Burnie 10, Melbourne half, Noosa Bolt. I might see you out there if I can get fit enough. And the 2x U half, whatever that is, and Osaka women's only marathon.
Well, once I've recovered from the sleep deprivation from World Champs,
Like, how much is here? It's like a novel reading that out.
I'll yeah get back to training. But yeah, we've got Melbourne in 2 3 weeks. So Riley's doing the full, and I'll do the half, and then Burnie 10's I think about 3 weeks later, and then Noosa Bolt a week after that. And then the 2XU half's like the 30th of November, so I will have started my Osaka block when that race comes around. So yeah, so then I'm gonna try to get into the Osaka race, but there's a few hoops you have to jump in. You have to have like a accreditation from Athletics Australia, and you have to sometimes like have someone like nominate you, or just sort of like you have an agent type person to just like put forward your entry. It's just a bit more challenging to get into. So hopefully I can use my time from Sydney to get into this race. Yeah. If you run 2:45, you're automatically in, and you don't have to pay for your entry. But because I ran 2:47, I'll have to sort of like just tell them why I shouldn't be in this race. So hopefully I get in there, because that'll be super fast. I think from Sydney, I just now think that I could run like 2:44 or faster. So hopefully I can just do that. Just want to run a really fast marathon now so I can get into other races and yeah.
Yeah, what about your half though? I think your half time can definitely come down, and maybe it's too short of a time to Melbourne half. What sort of damage do you think we can do there?
I think I'm going to try and run 119. Yeah.
Have you
I
gone
think it's
sub 80 or not yet? Yeah.
but if I you cal do the calculations from Sydney, I should be able to do
Yeah, you should.
yeah, and it's flat. It's actually flat Melbourne. I thought they went up the Tam, but they don't. They skip it and just go around Albert Park and then back in. So it's actually quite flat. So if it's not too windy, I think I'm just going to go for it anyway. I'm just going to throw it all to the wind and just have a crack.
Yeah,
See what happens.
so in order here, Melbourne half, then it'd be Bolt, wouldn't it? Burnie 10's about what, March, April, or May time next
Oh
year?
no, that's I think you're thinking of Lonnie.
Lonnie.
2010's late October.
Late
Yeah.
October.
Yeah, so Noosa Bolt's only a week after Burnie
So
10.
these are in order on your agenda. Melbourne half, Burnie 10, Noosa Bolt, 2x U half.
Yep, and then Osaka. Osaka's actually a good one. If there's any runners who are teachers, it's a good one to do at the because it's at the end of the school holidays. So that's the reason I want to do it, because then I could have like a good at least 6 weeks. You got Christmas in there, but still, you can still train because you're not working. But that's the reason I want to do it, because I can just take the fam too, don't have to worry about getting time off work for that.
Yes.
And just like a block where, yeah, this it's not going to be as interrupted. So yeah, just want to see what I can do during that time. So yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking when you said teachers, running marathons, and also women. You mentioned that even 5 years ago, there wouldn't be many, but I'm sure there'd be some out there now who are teachers running marathons.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me personally, what have I got coming up? 5K focus really now for a few months. The Noosa Bolt potentially. If there's a refund option, I might just buy the ticket now and hit that refund option as we speak because I like to be there. I normally come at the back of that whole race, but it's pretty cool to be on the start line with real professionals in that event. There's so many turns, it's hot. It's not a PB course at all. I think I've gone 17 flat, low 17, then 17:30 in that order for the last 3 years. So that trend is not great, but I think I can get to better form than that 17:30. Actually, speaking of 17:30, that was my split through the Bridge to Brisbane 10K just the other week. So I
Wow.
feel like I'm getting back to where I can be. If I'm doing that in a 10K, I think a low 17 to potentially breaking 17 is now on the cards and just need to put a month or so together of, I think, consistent training. But this stuff takes a long time. I want to keep doing this sort of 75, 80K-ish with structure, like for months through to, say, February. 5K champs twos after Noosa Bolt in Queensland, Brisbane, Cusack, exact venue. And that is November. And then we roll into the new year where, yeah, maintain that mileage. Hopefully, I can then maybe have another crack at that Gold Coast marathon training. That's where I think maybe it didn't head in the right direction last time with that hip injury I had started here. So we'll see how we go. I'm still not like, I still love the half marathon and 10K events. So it's still my love and passion. But yeah, I do want to do a marathon and maybe it might take me back for more if I do a first marathon, that is.
Yeah, I think it's just about finding what works for you and not getting too caught up in, what should be done. I think, yeah, you got to find your own groove with how you tackle the marathon training.
Yeah, well, thanks for jumping back on, Brooke. Welcome anytime. It's good to, not that it might sound offensive now saying this, but when there's gaps in the ordering of trying to get runners onto this podcast, I'm always thinking Brooke in the back of my head and a few others who can jump on at with a day's notice even to chat all things running. You're so passionate about it and follow the sport just as much as you are invested in your own running. So thanks for your time again.
No worries, at any time. Thanks so much.
Awesome, Brooke. I'll hit end here.
See ya.